for the none in attendance and the 200 to 700 listening all over the world. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for a mind-melting maelstrom you won't forget. Witness a verbal vortex where wit collides with wisdom in a clash of the cognitive titans. In the neuron network, a sympathetic storm brews. In the blue cloak, wielding the scalpel of reason and the Molotov cocktail of knowledge, is the iconoclastic instigator, Adam! And in the red cloak, a master of the mental matrix, armed with the thermonuclear take and the sidewinder segues, it's the enigmatic enigma, Ryan! Brace yourself for the HBO Boys!
Enigmatic Enigma?
Enigmatic Enigma.
The alliteration! I love it. It is... by the way, that whole thing, giving Olmec.
Olmec and Michael, whatever his name is. Can't remember it.
Boucher?
Bobby Boucher?
Bobby Boucher? Yeah.
No, you know, let's get ready to rumble, guy.
Let's get ready to rumble. Bum, 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 bum,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bum,
the Jock bum, Jams bum, 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 bum. 2005.
Y'all ready for this? I am always ready for that. And by the way, 700 people listening, huh?
I mean, I don't know. I just guessed.
Yeah, that's a wrong. That's a bad guess.
No, I said between 2 and 7. I figured that covered our gamut.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Well, we have some that have like 1500 and some that
Did
have
you say
like
gamut just now?
Gamut. Gamut.
Oh, the whole gamut.
Yeah.
Gamut's a fun word.
Yeah.
Anyway, hi. This is the HBO Boys. As you know, because you listened to that dope intro that Adam did, we're here today to talk about something that is not as cheery as this intro or the intro you heard prior to the music. The Iron Claw, a sad wrestling movie.
It is a sad wrestling movie. And, you know, I'll tell you this. I watched it knowing it was based off of a true story, but I didn't know it was the actual people's names. Like, I thought they took, artistic liberties. But at the end, when it said WWE Hall of Fame, I'm like, wait, what? And I went and rewatched the 2009 WWE Hall of Fame, and it was pretty cool. And I was watching wrestling then, so I clearly don't remember it.
Right. Yeah. It's a story of the Von Erichs, brothers and a father who were wrestling at a time where regional wrestling was a lot more prevalent.
Sure.
And, also at the same time where TV was starting, so they were getting contracts or trying their desperately to get contracts. And also a little bit before consolidation in the wrestling world, when there ended up being in the 90s, 80s and 90s, two large companies that would eventually be one. But before we get to the Iron Claw, let's discuss wrestling as a whole.
Sure.
Because you and I are both wrestling fans. I would categorize you a bigger fan than I, although I was huge into it when I was a kid as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But
most boys our age were.
Power Rangers and wrestling.
Yeah. The ultimate of masculinity.
Of course, but it has lived on into your adulthood, and that's dope, especially because I think it's printing dividends these days.
Oh, yeah.
But what I will say prior to this is wrestling isn't wrestling. The people on the internet who are like, you know, it's fake. How dare they? I hate those people.
Ugh.
It's
gross.
Theater.
Absolutely.
Featuring stunts.
It really is. And it's not just, I mean, it's a soap opera for
It's anime.
It's anime soap opera targeted to when we were watching it in the late 90s, early 2000s, it was absolutely targeted to the young boys, males. But now that they've changed that a lot, and there's actually a very good women's division now. Some of these women are just incredibly good.
The women's division not aimed at men at all.
Not anymore, dude. It's very different now.
Are they still scantily clad?
I mean, the guys are scantily clad, so yeah, that hasn't not, changed. But like,
that's not,
so
that's not what I asked, is it?
Well, actually, some of them are not now. Some of them wear full body costumes now. But
I don't know. I think you're DeLulu about this, little bit of DeLu Jones.
Here. Well, listen, the early 2000s, late 90s, they were the WWE divas. And like, oh, they were sexy. It had Stacy Keibler, Tori Wilson, like that whole sex appeal. Now it's like, these women are truly like badass and they're incredibly athletic and they've gone very far away from the sex appeal of a female wrestler and very much into their athletic abilities now.
I don't think, I don't know enough to contest it. You'll see. I'm not gonna. So, okay. Here, I think I want you to give like, here's the State of the Union by Adam, right? Here's the State of Wrestling by Adam. And let me set this up for you.
Yeah, go right ahead.
In the past decade, I think there was an obvious dip in quality the product of wrestling on television. It has recently had what you could call a resurgence, a renaissance of sorts. And when we were kids, it was huge, right?
Oh, one of the biggest shows on television.
So let's start with the dip in quality in the past decade. And by the way, we're going to talk about a movie eventually, but I do want to get like the context full of wrestling before we get there. The dip in the past decade, what caused it and what was it?
Vince McMahon.
Right. Turns out he's not a good guy.
Not only his scandals that are in the news, but he just is like creatively very poor as he started to age. He was the brainchild of this product, and he did it so well in the 90s and the 2000s. And then it took just a crazy dip when it ended what they called the Ruthless Aggression era in 2008 into what they call the PG era in 2008 on. And it made it family friendly, which is, you know, that's fine. But they got rid of so many things that made wrestling good and fun to watch and like intriguing.
Can I stop you there?
Yeah.
What makes wrestling good?
It is a soap opera, right? We just said that. It's a soap opera. It's got storylines that transcend years. I mean, we just finished up a storyline that was like 4 years in the making at the most recent WrestleMania. And so it's the storytelling, it's the athletic ability, it's the entire spectacle of watching this stuff happen live. It's the fireworks, the energy, all of that makes this product as enticing as it is to someone who just loves live events.
Yes. I mean, I don't go outside, but you have been to many live events for wrestling.
We have, yeah.
Actually, can you talk now, go back in time a little bit, wrestling from our youths, when it was WWF versus WCW. The vibe of both organizations leading up to the merger. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it was they were feuding, right? And was it for television to some degree? Yeah, I mean, was it real also to some degree? For sure. And you know, I'm no expert in the history of WWE or WCW by any stretch of the definition, but I do know that it was real in both regards, not for the show, but also reality.
Listen, man,
of just these feuding bosses.
Hulk Hogan was in one of them and then he was in another one.
Yeah, so there was this whole thing with like the Alliance versus there was just so many different storylines going on in the 90s, in the early 2000s, that made that era so good. And you have wrestlers coming from WCW that wanted to wrestle in WWF at the time, WWE, and then
the World Wildlife Fund.
But on the flip side, you had wrestlers who wanted to stay with that WCW name and maintain that moniker. But it obviously ended that WWE has taken it. But that era was so. I remember those matches. I remember those live events when they were airing at the same time, and it literally was the network wars, it was wild.
And then can you now jump ahead for me?
Yeah.
And talk a little bit about the AEW, what it was or is. I don't know.
Yeah.
And how it has now affected the resurgence / repopularization of wrestling in the mainstream, how it became zeitgeisty all the way up to WrestleMania 40. By the way, this is my favorite podcast we've ever done because I ask a question and then I just blank out.
You blank out, sure, until you get the ping notification. Hey, you need to talk.
There's silence. It's time to talk.
I got to fill the airwaves. Yeah. So, you know, AEW is a smaller promotion for the wrestling world, obviously, but it's growing so quickly. And
well, Cody Rhodes was like an EVP of it.
Yeah. So Cody Rhodes like switched off of WWE and went to AEW, became like a big star there. And then he left AEW and came back to WWE. And, you know, that was only 2 years ago now, or a year and a half ago now, when he came back for the Royal Rumble. And, well, actually, he got very hurt. He got actually hurt. He's actually pretty badass, honestly. He got hurt in the beginning of a match, and he tore his pectoral muscle in a steel cage match. And he completed the entire match with a completely torn pectoral muscle.
When I was a kid, Mankind put a bunch of Hell in the Cell, baby. And Mankind versus The Undertaker, who, by the way, my favorite wrestler of all time. Who's your favorite wrestler of all time?
Oh, it's Undertaker. But it's sick. Undertaker and Stone Cold. Like those are my two top. And then the rock of the Attitude Ruthless Aggression era. Well, now he's a heel. But
no, yeah. I like him better as a heel. I just hate him as a person.
Oh, well, yeah, sure. But his character of The Rock is masterclass in charisma.
I'm down to clown with that. Yeah. Anyway, wrestling's big again.
Wrestling's big again. And just to comment again on AEW, it became really big and it kind of forced WWE's hand at making a better product. And, you know, amongst the scandals with Vince and all that stuff, which absolutely helped WWE grow into what it is right now, and him leaving.
Because Triple H took over, my dude.
Triple H took over. Paul Triple H Levesque, Hunter Hearst Helmsley took the helms wrestling name creatively, and it has been nothing but bangers. Like this, it is so much fun to watch now. The stories are good. They're showing blood again. I know that sounds really grotesque, but they're showing that stuff again, which they got away from for so long, and people absolutely love it. The Rock is dropping F-bombs live on air. They're swearing again. They're using weapons like chairs and stuff, which they didn't do for so long. They're bringing all that stuff back, which is making it really fun to watch again if you're a purist like I was and you were. But yeah, it's starting to feel like that Attitude era again, obviously with some shiny new stuff to keep up with the modern stuff. But yeah, it's really great to watch now. It's really fun.
Why are all wrestling movies so sad?
Because generally I think back in those time periods where they're set, it's like people did this out of necessity almost. I mean, they loved what they did.
Well, yeah. I mean, but this it was is a necessity. Job from most people who don't have giant contracts with the WEWF.
Yeah,
CW.
You got
so
it.
So like, yeah, I mean, these are guys who are trying to like, you know, make a living, and it seems tough to do because there are only like four people at any time who are like actually famous for doing this. But there's also this thing where like the injuries are real.
For
sure. The drugs are real.
Oh yeah.
Like the painkiller addictions, which the Iron Claw gets into.
And like imagine, you know, spending your life trying to, or your work life in this industry, trying to make a name for yourself, and you always get shafted by the powers that be, the higher ups. You just don't get that title shot. And like, that's your goal as a wrestler, is you want to become the world heavyweight champion, or you want to become the intercontinental champion. And you, if you don't get that chance because the script doesn't abide by that, like, that's a bummer. And I'm sure that is part of the reason why some of these guys like just get depressed, because they're trying so hard to reach that, and they are told that they can't right now.
And right.
That's a bummer.
I think you just like take this into account. This isn't boxing, right?
No.
You don't get to the top by winning, by like, I'm the best boxer. This is theater, baby.
Yeah.
You get to the top by being the best on the microphone and the best in the ring, by being undeniable.
Yeah.
By like, yeah, there's a script, and yeah, there's a group of writers, and yeah, there's a head writer, and there are executive producers, and they're making biased / unbiased decisions on a daily basis. But sometimes, you know, the audience is the last line of defense, and they're just like, oh, wait, this person slaps, and
yeah,
we want to know about them forever. And which is why I was so kind of taken aback with how large of a storyline / a force the Von Erichs were, and how I knew of them 0% before watching this movie.
Right, same. It just goes to show. And they fought Ric Flair, and we'll talk about it. Woo! Ric Flair was in the movie, but that's not something that was ever on my radar, because back then they defended championships so frequently. It changed hands so much now with, and this was the problem with the most recent era, I think, is that Roman Reigns, he held the title for like 14 or 1500 days. Like, that's so long. That's multiple years without losing the title, without being pinned. That's gross. Boring.
Yeah, that's, who's Roman Reigns? So I don't even know that guy. Bring back Vader, dude. Bring back Yokozuna, dude.
Vader, what okay. in the world?
Ultimate Warrior, dude. Bring back that guy.
I mean, I wish you could, but...
Yeah, it'd be chill. Okay, written and directed by Sean Durkin, The Iron Claw at the box office makes $43 million off of a $15 million budget. It is starring Zac Efron, who is a gigantic star, Jeremy Allen White, who is perhaps the brightest burning star rising through the ranks of Hollywood today. Yeah. Lily James puts in a career-defining, amazing performance. Mm-hmm. Harris Dickinson is so gosh dang good in
the
this
whole cast, man. They really so nailed good. This. The only one that I had a problem with that I actively said out loud when I was watching it was the guy who played Ric Flair.
Yeah, it was bad.
He looked exactly like him in that era, but he sounded nothing like it. And I wanted the Ric Flair, like, slurring speech, extreme, like, vein poppy. Like, we just didn't get it, and that was a bummer. But it's whatever.
Holt McElhaney as Jack Fritz Von Erich should get something. He should get a Best Supporting Actor. Like, he should be not... If he's not nominated for Best Supporting Actor, then there was a mistake. I saw him in Mindhunter. I knew that he was going to get bigger and cooler parts from then on. This movie is like, oh my God, he as their father. Whoa, he makes you feel feelings. You can't say that he doesn't.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He was hard to like.
Yeah.
In this movie.
Because he was mean.
He was mean. And you know, I was talking with my girlfriend about this because we were both watching it. I said, you know, like, he supported his son so heavily in what they wanted to do and was so proud of them. So, like, he was a very supportive father, but only when it came to wrestling. And, like, you know, spoilers, when the first son passes away from what we think is a drug overdose, right? He overdosed in his hotel room or whatever.
Yeah, most likely.
his dad was like, well, we still got a shot at the title. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy?
That's how you define support. Let's come back to this. Well, we're gonna circle back.
No, that's the bad. Like, how do you just go from death of your son to we still got the title shot?
Okay. I was just confused because you were talking about support so recently, and then you said that. We're gonna circle back. Okay. Sure. Now, let's discuss the it's 1979. Okay. The WCCW is owned by retired professional wrestler Fritz Von Erich, and he is putting on a show, and that show is mainly cast with his children, Kevin, David, and not so much Carrie. Carrie, played by Jeremy Allen White at this moment, an aspiring discus thrower, and he's going to the Olympics, and everything is sick. At this point, it is clear, or made clear to the audience, that there is a curse. The Von Erich curse is prevalent within all of their lives, and that is what killed Jack Jr. as a child. They have a child. There's so many brothers, but one of them's already dead. He died as a child.
Yeah.
So they kind of get into it where Kevin wins a non-title match against the NWA World Heavyweight Champion Harley Race by disqualification. And Fritz is disappointed, though, because Kevin took a long time getting up after taking a vertical suplex directly onto concrete.
Oh, yeah.
Alexa, stop. Sorry, my chicken was done. Anyway. Oh, wait, I have to get it out of the oven. Oh, God.
And here's the intermission.
I swear to God, I heard the alarm go off, and I was like, that's just an alarm. Don't even worry about it.
And we're back. Happens.
Nothing even happens because of that alarm.
Yeah.
It's because of the chicken. Okay. 1980s happen. Summer Olympics boycott. Carrie can't go to the Olympics because of the boycott. So he Big comes bummer. Back, and he's like, actually, turns out I'm a wrestler, too.
I could. Yeah. And this is, I was thinking about this when I was watching it. How easy it was to just become a wrestler.
Well, if your dad owned one.
Well, yeah, but like he was just like, I think you should be a wrestler, Carrie. And he was like, yeah, I think I will. And it, boom, done. He's in a main event.
Yeah, he's an Olympic athlete and his daddy owns a wrestling thing.
Yeah, I suppose they would do that now, too. There's an Olympic guy in there now.
I'm not an Olympic athlete and my daddy doesn't own a wrestling thing. If I tried to be a wrestler tomorrow, I did it wrong 100%. If I tried to be a wrestler tomorrow, they'd be like, one, you can barely walk. Two, you're fat. Three, your daddy don't even own a wrestling thing. You can't do it.
You can't do it. How dare you think you can?
Yeah. Anyway, they're all rising through the ranks. It's going amazingly well. Mm. Nothing will ever go wrong. David goes to Japan and dies because his intestines explode.
Yeah, pretty terrible. And now I knew there was going to be some heartbreak in this movie. You know, everyone who has seen it before me kind of set me up to expect that. But I didn't think it was going to start like literally offing these brothers each one by one. I was like, oh, my God, this is brutal. Like, I truly feel bad for Kevin Von Erich. Like, he has gone through so much in his life that how is he still remotely happy? Like, I just, that's so wild to me.
Kevin Von Erich, played by Zac Efron, with a new face and everything. Which is not a joke. He had an accident and he had to get a new face. So that's what his face is doing. And that's why it's like that. But
I understand.
Yeah. Okay. So let's stop here. Pause for a moment.
Okay.
If there's one thing this movie is about, well, there are a few things. One, your daddy having a wrestling thing. Two, ambition. Three, it's about brotherhood.
It's about brotherhood.
Brothers.
I love having my brother.
Brother. It's about having brothers. And doing stuff with your brothers.
Yeah.
And it's about family.
Family.
Where's Vin Diesel?
He wasn't born yet. But sure enough, he'll be there for his family.
He should be. You know why?
Family.
Anyway, then it gets really weird. Because Carrie, played again by Jeremy Allen White, and Kevin, played by Zac Efron, are sort of in the fray for the World Heavyweight Championship. And by a coin flip, Kerry is facing Flair, beats him, and wins the championship. Right. And although Fritz, their father, is overjoyed, a despondent and drunk Kerry goes out for a motorcycle ride and loses his right foot in an accident. Now, he's wasted, right?
Yes.
He says to his brother, Zac Efron, I'm going for a ride. And you're like, if you're me, oh, don't.
Hey, don't do that. You're drunk.
Give him the piece. Then it's a hard cut to him like crutching along.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, he just like broke a leg or something.
Yes, that shot reveal. Oh, it hit me.
And then they pan down.
Yeah.
And
not there.
It's not there. He doesn't have a half a leg.
Oof. And I don't know if that part of the story is true. I didn't deep dive into the actual
facts. It is true.
Yeah. So the resilience that man had to be able to recover from that and then actually do wrestling with a prosthetic foot.
Yeah. The scenes where he's trying.
Oh, but so but sad.
His foot hurts and his leg hurts. Well, no, his foot doesn't hurt. It doesn't exist.
Yeah. The ghost foot.
When he keeps falling down.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, especially because I'm a guy who has foot problems.
Yeah.
I was just like, oof, Jeremy Allen. That sucks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I felt the amount of pain I felt for him. Not pain as in physical pain, like mental anguish that he can't do what he wants to do because he wants to do it so badly.
100%.
Yeah.
Kevin, now fearing the curse, has a newborn son. And he also begins training Mike, who is the youngest brother.
Yeah.
Played, by the way, by Stanley Simon, sort of a newfound actor who hadn't been into anything big prior to this. Did an amazing job, as does the rest of the cast. Actually, let me stop here again and once more and say that I've already said that Lily James, as Pam Atkinson, Kevin's wife, is amazing. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the best scenes is their first date, where she just completely owns the scene. And as it turns out, like, you know, Kevin Von Erich in the ring, he owns the ring. Although at the same time, Kevin Von Erich kind of made out to be not the best talker.
No. Yeah. He was not good on the mic, and that kind of stifled his growth with these title shots. He was kind of last resort, unfortunately.
Who do you think is the best wrestler on the mic of all time? There's only one answer, by the way. There's only one correct answer.
The best wrestler on the mic of all time, probably Ultimate Warrior or Macho Man, that those kind of guys.
I think you get, ooh,
yeah.
The cream of the crop, rising to the top. Macho Man Randy Savage is the answer. He's just so sweaty and on so much cocaine.
Oh, my God. Incredible, though. I mean, you know, wrestlers active today. The Rock, obviously, he has come back recently and just still has it, man. He is so charismatic and so fun to listen to. You could hate him so much, but absolutely love his segments. And yeah, just excellent. So that's like you said at the beginning, that is a huge part of moving forward in the industry is being able to handle yourself on the mic. And one of the up and coming guys now is LA Knight. He is so good on the mic. And I'm excited to see what they do with it. Anyway, I digress.
I've never heard of LA Knight.
He's great.
This guy. Oh, okay. This guy looks like a model became a wrestler and he shouts.
Yeah, he pretty much is like kind of the new version of how like Stone Cold handled himself in the ring. Yeah.
Glass breaks. Everyone shouts.
Oh, dude, the biggest pop in history is the glass break Stone Cold coming down in the ring to take out everyone in the ring at the end of, I think it was a pay-per-view or something. It's like a really famous clip.
Hundo.
It's so good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you check in on me every 3 months, you can watch a Top Pops all time.
Oh, it's great.
Top 10 Pops?
I mean, there's a few that I remember watching live. A lot of them I remember watching live, but
there was a pretty good pop era. WrestleMania 40 earlier this month.
Ooh, yeah.
The Undertaker, baby.
Oh my God. Woo. Oh my God. And one of my colleagues at my job was at that WrestleMania and I was so
jealous. Get out of town.
So jealous. She went with her son and her husband. Yeah, I was so jealous.
What? Carrie returns to wrestling with a new prosthetic foot and works for the World Wrestling Federation, now dwarfing the WWF in popularity. And he wins the Intercontinental Championship at SummerSlam, baby.
Ooh, my God. I saw SummerSlam. I'm like, yes, that's my stuff.
Love SummerSlam. Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, WrestleMania. Give them. Hell in a Cell. Okay. Now, Fritz gives Kevin the task of running the WCCW, and he focuses on his life with his newest son, Marshall, his first son, Ross, and his wife, Pam, again, played by the indomitable Lily Allen.
Yeah.
And Carrie gives Fritz a new gun for Christmas, and nothing bad will ever happen with that gun. But also, Carrie becomes upset with Fritz after he puts the gun away, later calling Kevin and telling him that the curse's constant presence and his declining career have made him consider suicide. But then everybody is like, don't even worry about it, man. Nothing bad's going to happen to you.
Yeah, totally like, fine. Oh, God. What was heartbreaking was when Zac Efron called their dad and was like, I'm really worried about Carrie, and like, please just keep an eye on him. And his dad's like, yeah, no, this is between you guys. Like, what?
So anyway, Carrie commits suicide with the gun. Oh, and
Jesus. Kevin he almost choked out his dad.
Choked out his dad. And Carrie leaves behind the coin that decided he would face Flair and reunites with Mike. Now free to pursue his musical dreams, and Mike is alive and well. And nothing goes wrong with Mike.
No.
That's not true, Mike. No, it's not true. Anyway, David is whatever.
Well, Michael died first. There's so many deaths in this movie that we got them out of order.
It's hard to keep track of them. Michael took a bunch of pills, wrapped himself up in a sleeping bag, and fell asleep forever in a field.
Oh, that's so sad. And then the one scene that truly got me and like actually made me shed a tear.
The river scene. The river.
Where Jeremy Allen White is on his boat in the sunshine, beautiful, beautiful Texas sunshine. Mm-hmm. And he comes up and his two deceased brothers greet him at the dock, and then they see his little brother that he didn't get to meet him yet. He was too young or something. And it wrecked me. Like, I was like, oh my God, this is so well done. That scene was just a wonderful storytelling visually of like crossing over to the other side kind of thing. And yeah, it just really, that hit me.
Yeah, that hits you. And then the end happens. Kevin sells the WCCW.
Yep.
Despite his father's protests, Doris divorces Fritz, gives up her housewife duties because she wants to paint. Let the girl paint.
Sure. Let her paint. Let her be creative for once.
And then we get to the end scene. Kevin sitting on his front lawn, weeping to himself.
Yeah.
While watching his sons play football.
His two brother sons.
My brother. Family.
And then they're like, we'll be your brother, Dad. And I was like,
yep. He's missing his brothers. I ain't a brother no more. He's the only one left.
Oh, so sad.
They promise, as you said, to be a brother to him. And he gets up and plays with them. And then an epilogue reveals that the Von Erichs were inducted into the World Wrestling Entertainment Hall of Fame in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin and Pam are still married.
Yes.
They bought a ranch in Hawaii.
Lovely.
And their large family lives to this day, including their 4 children and 13 grandchildren.
The whole gosh dang clan's there.
The whole gosh dang clan.
Oh, that's such a lovely ending to that terrible, terrible like upbringing of being in that industry. But yeah, so if you get a chance, Ryan, I invite you to just watch the speech that he made at the Kevin Von Erich made at the Hall of Fame induction. It's not long. But the guy who was their nemesis in the movie, which was real, was the three tag team versus the Von Erich. And I can't remember the name of the three guys that were a tag team.
The Fabulous Freebirds, dude.
That's it, the Freebirds. So the main guy of the Fabulous Freebirds inducted him into the Hall of Fame.
Michael Hayes inducted him?
Sure.
Sick.
Yeah.
I'm reading that. I don't know it.
Yeah. No, yeah, so it's JP or something his name is. That's like his, nah. I don't know. But yeah, it was just very good. And he talked about his, you know, he actually brought up Carrie, you know, before he passed away, you know, and it was just a nice to see him being in such good spirits, given all the terrible, terrible stuff that happened.
Let me give in this moment Sean Durkin his flowers, written and directed by this guy. He wrote this script for 7 years.
Oof.
He hung out a lot with the family. He also, by the way, wrote and directed Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene, and The Nest.
Mm.
He should be allowed to make whatever he wants.
Yeah, very good.
This was a really great movie that was so sad.
Mm.
And pulls on the heartstrings. By the way, Zac Efron makes this movie, and like 2 days after, starts filming Ricky Stenicki for, what is that, Netflix, Amazon, or whatever, just like a slapstick comedy movie.
Oh, yeah.
And he was just like, let so me tell different. You, The Whiplash.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway. Big surprise. Like, I didn't see this one coming. This is another movie I hadn't heard about before it was available to watch, you know? And I'm so, so happy that I took the time to watch it. It was so well done. And especially if you're a wrestling fan, it kind of dives deep into it, which brings up another thing really quick. If you ever want some deep dives into the reality of professional wrestling, check out... what is it called? Oh my God, it just blanked. I had it in my head.
Yeah, why bring it up? Yeah.
Wait, no, I had it, and then I talked too long, Ryan, and I lost it. Dark Side of the Ring. It's called Dark Side of the Ring, and it is excellent. It is so good. There's so many episodes about really famous wrestlers where things happened. They passed away. One of them was about the whole Chris Benoit thing. Like, that was so wild to watch. Highly recommend if you're a wrestling fan.
Okay. By the way, an A24 film.
Yes, which bangers every time.
Yeah, sixth highest grossing A24 film, ninth highest grossing worldwide, the first one that I talked about in North America. Let me read this, actually. I think this is interesting. Yeah. Highest grossing films A24 made in North America. 10 is Priscilla, which, by the way... I just watched Civil War, Kaylee Spaney and both of them. I haven't watched Priscilla, but Civil War, when you watch it, we'll probably talk about it. Ex Machina 9th, by the way, and speaking of Civil War, Alex Garland making Ex Machina.
That was a great one.
Midsommar 8.
Another great one. Wild. Great.
Moonlight 7th. Haven't watched, but won a bunch of stuff. Iron Claw 6th. Hereditary, probably the scariest movie I've ever seen, at 5. Talk to Me, another horror film, 4th. Lady Bird at 3. Uncut Gems at 2. And Everything Everywhere All at Once, one of the best movies I've ever seen, at 1. So yeah.
Still got to watch that.
I know. And by the way, didn't even bring up like The Whale.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. Interest,
so sad.
Yeah, they're very good. They're very, very good.
Of course. They're popping off.
Popping and off, so, as you would say.
Every time I see them, and by the way, like, you know, Civil War, the newest A24 film, which the online discourse enrages me about. But yeah, thank you for joining us here to sort of chilling, talking about wrestling, talking about the Iron Claw.
For sure.
In the coming weeks, we'll most likely talk about Fallout. And Counterpart, if my boy Adam watches it. If he doesn't, that's totally fine. But it's a show from 2017 that I recently enjoyed very much. And yeah, maybe Civil War. And then also, if you'd like to tell us what you'd like us to watch, you can join our private Discord. The way you do so is by paying $1 a month. I know it costs money. That's weird, but it's cool. It's $1 a month. It's not even that much money. And the way you do that is go to patreon.com/HBOBOYZ. For that $1 a month, once again, you join a private Discord. You get to talk to us all day, every day. And mainly Adam, if I'm being honest. And also, you get this content ad-free and before it comes out on the main feed, and your name gets said at the end of the show, which Adam's about to do like right now.
Yeah, and if you, you know, if you're interested in donating to the cause of the HBO boys, consider, you know, joining the Adam tier. It's only $3 a month. It's less than a Starbucks coffee. So, I mean, come on. One Starbucks coffee a month, just, you know, give it to
us. What are you going to do for them extra if they're on your tier, though, dude? Like, what do they get?
You know, I'll think of something.
Oh, that's not good that you don't know.
I'll think of something, but in the description, it says that the money goes to me so we can buy each other drinks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's chill. I wrote that description and forgot. And then
we may or may not be able to offer you a podcast where we are intoxicated.
Chill. No,
I mean, if you're a patron, there is a slight sample of that from when we were in Yellowstone.
Sure.
Anyway, we'd like to thank Sunshine, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Adam Donging Ryan, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butternickel, Susan, and Buffalo Pizzle. And thank you, Sunshine and Brent Ginn, for being our $5 a month tier patrons. See, they give up that Starbucks coffee a month, but I'm talking all the way to the top, yeah. I'm justifiably in the position that I'd rather not be in, but the cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah. Macho madness, yeah. We got more to offer than President Jack Tunney. Thinks and I got yeah, and let me tell you something right now. Cards stacked against the Macho Man Randy Savage at WrestleMania 3. Let me say it, yeah. Let me say it loud. Let me get to the point of the president of the World Wrestling Federation. The Macho Man Randy Savage is not happy with your decision, yeah. I am in the cream in the Wrestling Federation, and there's no doubt about it, yeah. You mean Gene Okerlund, you know it. I'm the cream of the crop.
Well, wait. A minute, though, Randy. I've got to ask you very seriously. Do you blame Mr. Jack Tunney, the distinguished president of the World Wrestling Federation, for Ricky Steamboat becoming the Intercontinental Champion today?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Outside interference, yeah, in my glory, yeah.
And that's all I'm going to go into that, because it's starting to hurt my voice.
No, keep going, do it, oh no.
I'm leaving it.
We'll switch places. You be mean, Gino.
Yeah, I'm the nightmare, and I'm...
Oh, no, it immediately hurts, yeah. Anyway, thanks for joining us here, and bye.